was a state college, and it was called Los Angeles State College when I was hired there. Mm-hmm. The name of it changed during the couple of years that I was there. Okay, so this is something which might have been, it certainly was questioned and might have resulted in some difficulties for the Department of Anthropology. As some department chairmen took higher administrative jobs during the first 5 years that I was there. Nevertheless, the whole atmosphere was quite friendly. And I had established good relationships with a member of the sociology department who left a couple of years later. We had common research interests. We had common research interests, this young sociologist and I, and we were interested in rigid social stratification. And we had both worked over Peruvian materials, he from written sources, and I both from written sources, colonial manuscripts, and 2 years of fieldwork. So there was a lot of immediate rapport between the new Department of Anthropology and and the old Department of Sociology. Hugh Cleland became my closest friend in the History Department, and there were others that I remained in close touch with for the first couple of years of my chairmanship, after which the relationships simply became less intense. They were always good between the History Department and the Anthropology Department, and good between the Sociology Department and the Anthropology Department. Over the course of years, they tended to break down, not because of hard feelings, but simply because of attrition and a lack of effort to maintain them. Of question 8. The people that I came to know and the spirit that I came to know, which I got from my own feelings in the new Department of Anthropology and the friends I had made in the departments of History and Sociology, was high. I was pleased. I thought that I had made a wise decision. Okay, now as to the campus. The campus was the butt of many, many jokes, and that really didn't bother me. The campus at Los Angeles State College was new and raw, but everybody had hopes for its future, and I sensed the same kind of hope for the campus at Stony. It certainly was in a lovely setting that also appealed to me. Okay, now the leadership. I felt very comfortable with the leadership as I came to know it in faculty meetings, committee meetings in which I was asked to participate. I was always given the opportunity to express my thoughts about the development of anthropology. I didn't ever feel cramped, with the exception of admonitions about budget. And this restriction was shared by everybody. So it didn't bother me. I wasn't at all discouraged. I was very hopeful. During the first 4 or 5 years of my tenure. I might as well get back to question 7 and answer what was your understanding of the purposes behind the creation of Stony Brook. My understanding was that the main purpose was to develop a center of graduate and advanced studies in our part of the state, geographically, in our part of the state. And that while the development was most pronounced in the so-called hard sciences, every effort was going to be made to bring the social sciences and humanities into line with this high-level development. The expression peaks of excellence had not been coined at that early date, but the impression was definitely that we were going to be a major intellectual force in our region. And that there was going to be intellectual interaction between the universities in New York City and the
public university,
Columbia, all the universities in New York City, the centers of a center of Northeastern intellectuality, and that what's that place out east, the center for where all the scientists hang out in the
Brookhaven, yeah.
And I was hopeful that anthropology would develop a pace. And in my new role as chairman and sole administrator of the anthropology department for a number of years, my main concern was in recruitment and in trying to recruit the best people I could find. Money was always an object. Now, referring back to information in this letter, I note a call for any documents that I might have in my files, and I have very few, but I do have several budget statements from different years. All of them indicate my reasons for wanting to recruit new personnel, and the successive ones indicate the shortfall. I did not get what I asked for in any case. Well, this is the part of understanding the purposes behind the creation of Stony Brook.
Right.
And was the vision being transformed into reality? My answer to that is I thought it was. I feel that it still is with respect to the sciences and especially the magnificent health sciences center. It wasn't before long that I shared the opinion with my colleagues in the humanities and the social sciences that we were not getting our fair share of the pie. And this includes support for recruitment, and cutbacks in, I can't remember the bureaucratic type of these things anymore, but supplies, materials,
support personnel, like secretary.
Yeah, something like that. Oh, secretarial support was, I think, among the worst in the social sciences. I can go into that in some length in a moment. Just a note, the year before I left, for supplies. I said I want a package of pencils and a few notepads. And I was given one pencil and a half of a notepad and told that we're running out of supplies, doctor. So things in that respect have gotten worse. What events, what persons, and what experiences stand out in your mind?
I might have put down lectures, conferences, speakers.
In my department?
In your department, or of interest to your department.
Okay, well, in answer then, following your prompting.
I remember Margaret Mead came.
Yeah. Originally, our first anthropological speaker of not only note but renown was Mr. Leakey, who came to Brookhaven, who had the money to pay his way, and agreed to come for nothing to our campus at my intercession and gave a talk. That was the major event. The next major event was the appearance of another trained physical anthropologist whose reputation was made not in his PhD field of physical anthropology, but as a popularizer, not in a bad sense, but a popularizer of anthropology,
philosophical,
and roles of male, female, and things of that sort, which had a physical base to them, but nevertheless, was designed to educate a literate audience, and was very commendable, but he wasn't the kind of person that anyone in our department wanted to have around. We had the impression that he was simply moving to Stony Brook from Princeton because it was more convenient for him.
He was at Princeton?
He has a chair.
I see.
And he didn't tell me this, but the rumor has it that he paid for it. I mean, it's his money. Named. But that he supports himself. Now, you mentioned Margaret Mead. Margaret Mead appeared not as a guest of the anthropology department, but as a guest of the university for the general of the Ruth Benedict Hall.
Yeah.
We tagged along. We were never given the opportunity to make the invitation ourselves to Margaret Mead, who was not only one of my first professors at Columbia, but a lifelong, fairly close friend. The anthropology department was once again bypassed or not taken into consideration. When we did ask, this takes me back to agenda for going into graduate work. The anthropology department was accepted or approved for PhD work. Before the sociology department had approval to begin a PhD program. The sociology department should have preceded the anthropology department by 1 year. It went into graduate work at the MA level the same year that the anthropology department went into PhD work. Now, you can check this. I am not absolutely sure. I believe this is the truth, though. And it is, now, this is something else you can check on, my impression that they were told they had to beef up their faculty, and at this time they hired as a distinguished professor, Lou Kozin. After which, or on the promise of which, they went into PhD. I requested, after we had gone into graduate PhD work, the appointment of our own distinguished professor, a little trouble with names here, Victor Turner, whose reputation in anthropology is based on his study of symbolic systems and value systems, based on his extended field work in Africa, but generalized to other societies, including the United States of America. I thought as a distinguished scholar, he would put the stamp of social anthropology on our department. The first thing I was asked to do was to present Xerox copies of book reviews of the seven or more books that this outstanding scholar had written. We were resisted all along the line in our efforts, our unanimous departmental efforts, to get this man an invitation by the dean of the social sciences or somebody else to come to campus to be looked over for a position. We didn't just want to invite him here to give a talk to the anthropology club. We wanted him to be invited here to be considered for a position. This never came to pass, and it dragged on for too many months until he finally accepted an offer at the University of Chicago. And we left. This is part of my experience as administrative head of the anthropology department. Since the end of my chairmanship, things have certainly not become better. During my chairmanship, we never received an unfavorable review from an outside team of reviewers. After I stopped being chairman, we received one favorable review from outsiders.
Who were they?
I can't remember. About 5 years after I stepped down, but every outside review since that time has been negative. Negative to the point that 5 or 6 years ago, the then temporary provost, he only had it for a year, I think.
Who was he?
Sokol. Yeah. He convened us, stood at the head of the table, shook his finger at us and said, "I'm going to retrench you people if you don't do as I say." Because we had just had a very unfavorable review. Now, I will hold off on these, on the evaluation of these reviews. I'm not going to go into them now. But The anthropology department did not want to be retrenched. We did not want to lose our job. And we did what so-called told us to do. We made it.
Some reason or other. The light is on. I don't know why. Let me try the other side.
I can go back and repeat it. So it's easy enough to remember. Okay, he told us to make an overture to the anatomy department and eventually to draw up a separate contract and institute a new program, which was not by any means supposed to be called a new program in anthropology called. DPAS. Departmental Program in Anthropological Science. At this meeting, I didn't open my mouth, and not many people had anything to say at all. We agreed, we wiped our brows, we figured the anthropology department was closed, and once more, we were willing to do what we were told to do. At this time, I was completely out of the administration in the department, which was in the hands of Phil Wigand, officially chairman at the time, Pedro Carrasco, and Paula Brown, who constituted a triumvirate. Others of us used to refer to as the establishment, and who had retained control of the department by shuffling back the chair between them for 13 or 14 years. Without going into details, I would say that this clearly indicates that those of us who were dissatisfied with their performance and the way the department was being run could not agree among ourselves and present a solid front. I'll go into what happened during this period if it's called for. But this does not deal with the early years of the department. It deals with the last decade of the department. And might be titled Who Did What to Whom, When, Where, and How. Now, sometime before so-called told us that in order to save ourselves, we had to make overtures to the anatomists and go into a graduate program which refurbished our old program with a heavy accent on physical anthropology. Sometime before that, the anatomists, it turned out, had made an overture to the anthropologist. This was some 6 years before that. During the time when Paula Brown was director of graduate studies, and the story came out 6 years later, that she had snubbed them because Paula Brown was a social anthropologist who felt that we should not have anything to do with physical anthropologists. And this again is after several years of Peg Wheeler's efforts to develop some kind of reciprocal program between at least a few physical anthropologists and some of us in the anthropology department. This went not unnoticed, but was not considered to be important. There was no attempt to establish any sort of working relationship between the anthropology department and the anatomy department. Now, this takes me back to the earliest years of my chairmanship, sitting at the old-fashioned budget meeting where we all rolled up our sleeves and tried to hammer out a budget for each department. Each department chairman had an opportunity to present his budget, speak his piece, and argue with the person. The main person that comes to mind now is Bentley Glass. In my relationship with Bentley Glass at these meetings, I believe that we reached an understanding that the anthropology department would cross-reference courses with physical anthropologists as soon as they were hired, either by the biology department or by the anatomy department, which wasn't even in existence in these early years. That was the arrangement. As it turns out, I don't think the biology department ever hired a physical anthropologist, and when the anatomists, who were all